Told my wife, she said, you know what you're preaching on tonight? It was yesterday, tomorrow night. I said, yes, ma'am, I do. I said, a short little message on missions. She said, could you pray again about something else? She said, I've never heard you preach short on missions. Amen. I love missions. This is our missions month. And I've been praying about missions, and I really do. I love missionaries. I love the whole the mission service. I love the mission field. I love everything about missions. So tonight I hope that you'll follow along with me in the Bible. It is. I do think it'll be a short message, amen, but don't write that down on certainty, amen. The only way it'd be short probably is because Leah wouldn't let me have a bottle of water. And that pollen has got me all choked up, amen. Open your Bibles to Acts chapter 16 tonight. We are having our mission conference a week and a half from now. I see we got some visitors. You're more than welcome to come to our mission conference. We'd love to have you. Invite people to come. You know, mission conference doesn't just have to be for the members of the church, amen. I like to go to other people's mission conferences and see other missionaries and meet them. So it's not just have to be us. If you got some people you'd like to invite, they're more than welcome to come and be part, meet the missionaries, come to our Saturday night missions banquet. What do we call that?
International
Supper. That's always fun, amen. So anyway, Acts chapter 16, I'll start in verse 6, and you just have to excuse my pronunciation on some of these words already, but just follow along. It says, and I wanted to say this too. Boy, preacher's message was good this morning, wasn't it? I'm going to tell you what, I get excited to hear people preach about Jesus Christ, amen. And he's been taking care of Sunday mornings, talking about Jesus and the resurrection and all that, and next Sunday's going to be a good morning. But I tell you, when you preach about Jesus, it ought to get you excited. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Anyway, all right, Acts chapter 16, verse 6. It says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia, after they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And they, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Father, we thank you for this night. I thank you for the opportunity to be here again. Thank you for the wonderful singing we've heard tonight. Lord, thank you for those faithful that come out to hear the preaching, to worship you. Lord, I pray tonight our hearts would be clear to hear the word of God. Lord, I pray that you'd help me, Lord, to remember the things that you put on my heart. Lord, to help me bring honor and glory to your holy name. And Lord, most of all, somebody in here tonight don't know you as their personal Lord and Savior. Lord, even though this message isn't about that, Lord, maybe somebody tonight would come to know you as that. And Lord, we thank you and praise you, Lord, with everything in us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, you personally, Paul, certainly understood things concerning a vision. And that's kind of the way I want to go with this thing tonight, is talking about a vision. And Paul certainly understood that. And God had worked that out for him in the very beginning. It says in verse 9, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And you know, I've had some people ask me about visions before. Do they mean anything? Does this and that and all that? And boy, people really want to get caught up into that stuff. But I assure you that the things that Paul had seen in a vision were from God. Amen. God had spoke to him. God had showed things. And in verse 9, he had already been forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. I'm telling you, that is being close to God right there. That is having some spiritual discernment. That is following God. That is being close to God to understand. I tell you, most preachers will preach. I've heard Brother Chris back there in the back say that he had preached at a drop of a hat. And I tell you, there is times, and I have been in a service before, and it's only happened to me one time, but I have been in a service up in Alabama one time. Meeting was on, and people worshiped the Lord. Everything was good, and I was supposed to preach that morning. And I tell you, the Spirit just told me, he says, this isn't the time. This isn't the time. And I read a few verses, and I'm telling you, people got saved that morning and everything else. The songs were about the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel was being preached, amen, through the word. And I tell you, it was just a wonderful time. And Paul here, can you imagine this? This is Paul's second missionary trip. He's going out. The church has called him and Barnabas out and sent them out and all this. And right off the bat, the Lord said, don't preach. Brother John, what do you think about that? That would be something else, wouldn't it? It'd be like Philip down there preaching that revival and having a great time and those people getting saved and a great revival going and God saying, hey, I want you to go on out in the desert for a while. Hey, most of us preachers would be like, oh, it's on right here. We're going to stay right here for a while. We're going to stay and just park at this right. And God says, come on out. Well, here's Paul out. I mean, he loves the Lord. He loves preaching. He loves the things of God. And right there, right off the bat in verse 6, and he says, and were bidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. But when he had a vision in 9, he says, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. And you think about this for a minute. You can flip back for just a minute how God had taught Paul from the very beginning about vision and about our sight. Acts chapter 9, if you'll flip back just a few verses there, chapters there. Acts chapter 9 and verse 7, the Bible says this. We know this is when the light had shined upon Saul, and he seen Jesus Christ there in verse 5, and he says, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And verse 6, Jesus said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And verse 7 said, and the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. I believe with all my heart that God had beginning to start to teach Paul about having a vision. Making Paul understood how important vision is. You and I couldn't imagine now. Most of us, I don't think anybody's in here blind tonight. Nobody comes stumbling in the back doors with a cane. I've been around many blind people and all that, and being blind from birth is one thing, but could you imagine you and I today losing our sight? I mean, it happens sometimes, but could you feel how crippling that would be? I mean, Paul, just think about this for a minute. Paul had just saw great light. He just saw the light, and when he opened his eyes up, he couldn't see nothing. I mean, what a transition that was there. And I believe God was teaching him right then to understand how important vision is. And this will come into play in just a minute. And he began to understand the blindness and having to be led by somebody else. What a great example it is of us leading somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. People without Jesus Christ are blind. And you and I are to take them by the hand and lead them to the light. Amen. These men said in verse 8 that Paul arose and his eyes were open. He saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. And he was there 3 days without sight, and neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. To him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prayeth. And he seeth and hath seen a vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Again, right off the bat, not only did he see the great light, but then blindness had come upon him, and God had already begun to teach him about visions. I mean, immediately he put a vision in Paul's mind for him to see that was from God to go into the city and find a man named Ananias. He said, I've already given that vision. Then Ananias answered the Lord, I have heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name. But the Lord said unto him, go thy way. For he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, has sent me that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. You understand something? You got to understand from here to Acts chapter 26, and I'm fixing to read in a minute, that God had spoke to Paul and taught him the importance of spiritual discernment and taught him the importance of following what God has said. He had given him a special vision. And I want to tell you in here this evening that God, if you're a child of God, that He has given you special eyesight. He has given you a sight that can, if you would just harness it, if you would just get a hold of it, if you would have the same vision that God had given Paul, and that is a vision to follow the will of God. Amen. To do those things that God has asked us to do. Now see, I don't have to preach on all that stuff tonight. Every one of us in here are faithful Christians in here. All of us in here tonight are the ones that are here Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. You already know what God wants you to do. Amen? Amen. Raise your hand. Amen. Amen. Come on, raise your hand. Come on, work that thing. It works. Amen. There you go. Everybody in here knows what God wants them to do. We preach on it all the time. Go ye in all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. That's what's coming in a week and a half, right? You're going to hear five nights of that about our mission call, what we're supposed to do. And what our part is to be sensitive to that, to actually listen to God. Paul, listen, in Acts chapter 26, and I'll read that verse over there. Paul had a special vision, the kind of vision that you and I should have ourselves. In Acts chapter 26, the Bible says this in verse 19. Now, you understand, I preach all the time on verse 16, 17, and 18. But in 9, he says, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto what? The heavenly vision. Now, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but I tell you, Christians today have got poor eyesight.
Yes, sir.
Christians today's visions are so messed up, it's not even funny. And I mean, I tell you what, I realize myself as the older I get, my wife said, why do you take your glasses off all the time when you preach now? I said, I don't know why. I said, I've always had 20/20 and all that stuff. And then when I got in my 30s, I've told you this story before, I started getting headaches all the time and all that. And, I never thought about my eyesight going bad until I tried to read that medicine bottle at Walmart, and I told you about that smart aleck old man that said, here, sonny, you need to borrow my glasses, because I couldn't hardly read what was on that medicine bottle. I was straining, and I didn't realize I was straining. But the truth of the matter is, as we go older and time goes on, sometimes our vision goes a little bit, doesn't it? Whether we want to admit it or not, amen. I've seen some older people, 80 years old, and they're holding their hymnals way out here trying to sing with no glasses on or anything else. I said, you know, if they just went to the eye doctor, they could get some help with that. And, everybody in the first five pews wouldn't have to read off their hymnal, amen. They could hold it up closer to themselves. But without a shadow of a doubt, our vision goes when we get older. Then we start having problems. And I tell you, the Christian today, you've been saved 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, whatever. I tell you, the devil will do everything he can to alter your vision so that you don't have a heavenly vision, but that you got an earthly vision. And I'm going to tell you something. This earth ain't got nothing for us. This earth is just a temporary thing. I tell you, it brings joy to my heart to hear Pastor testify about that lady passing away, Brother Vic's mama passing away, saying, do you see that? Hey, I've been in those same situations before, seen an old saint of God pass away and say, hey, looky there, and then they pass away. It's the Lord. I mean, you know, that's the heavenly vision that you should have. Knowing that you're saved and knowing that you're going to heaven. But I tell you what, the heavenly vision is telling others of Jesus Christ. Amen. Paul had that heavenly vision. I look here, he says, I was not disobedient to the heavenly vision. Look in verse 19 again, or back in verse Acts chapter 16. The Bible says that, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. That's the heavenly vision. It's to help others get to Christ. Paul so much understood this. I mean, he dedicated his entire life to nothing but preaching the gospel, to being obedient to the Father, doing exactly what God has asked him to do. And we see there in Acts chapter 26 that he was not disobedient. What a testimony that was. You think about this for a minute. Acts chapter 9. It was read your Bible from 9 to 26. It's quite a distance. Now, it ain't all about Paul between 9 and 26, but the majority of it is. And it talks about where he went and what he went through and preaching the gospel and being shipwrecked and about all these things that happened to him. Chapter 9, when we read there, he said that I'm going to show him things that he is going to suffer for my sake. And in chapter 9, we find that. But you know what the great part is, Brother James? We find him in Acts chapter 26 in verse 19, standing before King Agrippa, having gone through all of that stuff, and looking right at King Agrippa and saying, hey, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know what's sad about us sometimes is, what are we going to say when we stand before Christ? What are we going to stand? I mean, we love. Hey, I tell you, the choir is going to knock you off your feet next Sunday. I'm telling you, you better be here for you. I know most people here are in the choir, but those few of you that are here that are not in the choir, you better tell all them other people to come, amen, next Sunday morning. Because I'm telling you, we love to sing about Jesus Christ. We love to sing about His coming. We love to sing about His amazing grace. We love to sing all that stuff. But one day, we're actually going to be standing before Him. I don't know about you, but I want to be able to say to Him, when I'm standing before Him, I wasn't disobedient to the heavenly vision. You know what that means? That means a week and a half from now, mission conference has got to mean something to you. I mean, it does. Now, this part of the message is a little rough, so put your seatbelt on, amen, but you'll make it through it. I promise you, I prayed about it, amen. Anyway, I better not say that. Amen. I will say that. I'm going to tell you something. No, I won't say that. I'll let it go. I might be on the news. I'll leave that alone. Amen. But I tell you, Paul had not been disobedient to the heavenly vision, so many people would have not heard the gospel. You understand that? I think about that all the time. What if Paul had not done what God had told him to do? I really think about that all the time. We think the world is bad now. Think about how bad the world would be in now if Paul had not have done what he done. Yeah. Now, with that being said, think about what the world would be back 10 years from now if we don't do what we're supposed to do. You know, that's what this revival is all about East Ridge. It's because we have lost the heavenly vision. It's because we have not been obedient to the heavenly vision. It's because we have been looking at this stinking world and what the world has to offer instead of what God has told us to do. And that's why we're in the shape we're in today. It is not about all this sin that we talk about all the time. The problem with where we're at today is Christians have not held up to the heavenly vision telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I preach this, maybe the Lord is sending this in a different direction, but I'm going to tell you something. I remember, I preached this to you before. I remember my great-grandmother. I remember my great-grandfather. Were they perfect people? By no means was they not. But I'm going to tell you what, I remember them all the time telling people about Jesus. I remember all the time people coming into my mamma's material store. She was a sewer down there in Chickamauga, had a big material store. And I remember her telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. I remember sitting down at the dinner table, and if you dare picked up your fork before the Lord was thanked for it and everything else, my papa'll stick the fork through your hand, amen? I mean, the Lord came first when it come to all that stuff. Now, you think about it is today. I mean, there's homes, thousands of homes where prayer is never given to God. Thanks is never given to God. You know who held all that together was them grandmas and them grandpas and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. There was a failure in what happened. The next generation started losing that heavenly vision. And the next generation after that started losing that heavenly vision. And then the 60s came along. Oh, Lord, help us with the 60s. Amen. All the dope smoking, peace, love, all that garbage and everything else. And having God in your home was the last thing anybody wanted. You know, my generation that I grew up in, there wasn't no God in my home where my mama, I tell you what, when breakfast was put on the table, we chowed down. There wasn't no praying for that. There wasn't no thanking God for that. There wasn't any of that stuff. And I grew up my teenage years like that. Amen. You know what happened? Heavenly vision was lost. Time had gone by. And when I take these off, everything gets blurry. Can't see as good as I used to. Maybe that's why I take them off. I don't really like looking at your faces when I'm preaching. Amen. I mean, right now, everybody looks the same right now. All I see is a bunch of different colors. Everybody looks good. Amen. You look over here, it gets real ugly sometimes, so I take them off, amen. No, I'm joking. But we have, time has gone by. No, right, just right in here. No, I'm joking. But what happens is over time, we lose the right vision that you and I are supposed to have. Missions conference is coming up. You know that. I've mentioned that numerous times. In a week and a half, we have mission conference. And I thought about some things here, just some questions. During this time, we preach on missions, and some get their vision back on missions. You know that? I don't know why we wait, and it's not just pastor. It's churches all over the world. It's all of us that we have a missions conference once a year. But we call it the most important meeting of the year, right? I tell you, I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of it as can be. We get caught up with all the activities of the year. We get caught up with all that. And we are busy around here, amen. Vacation Bible School, revivals, all this stuff and everything else. And we have to be careful not to lose the heavenly vision. We have to be careful that we keep those missionaries in mind. And not only those missionaries, but our mission when we leave this building, amen. I believe all my heart. I'm telling you, I'm part of it as well. I'm preaching to myself tonight, if you ain't realized that. But if you fit in there, you take some of it too, amen. But I tell you right now, I don't hand out tracts like I used to. I don't. I used to have tracts in every one of my pockets. I used to have them in my car everywhere. I used to have, and I'm going to tell you this. Not only did I lost my heavenly vision, but there was times when you used to be able to go to Walmart 5-6 years ago, and somebody would hand you a tract. They would. I mean, I'm not pointing no fingers, but there's a church that we're closely associated with that they were so heavy on tracts, you couldn't hardly go nowhere in Fort Overthorpe without somebody handing you a tract. You know, last time somebody's handed me a tract? A long time. It's been a long time since I've seen Christians down there handing out tracts anywhere. Our pastor got saved from a gospel tract. Yes, sir. Many of you in here might have got saved from reading the gospel tract. You know what we do today? That gospel tract back there don't hardly ever go empty. Amen? It don't. And it ain't because he's filling it up all the time. It's because we're not taking them out and handing them out to anybody. Our heavenly vision has gotten blurred. Not only at the dinner table and in our homes, but our heavenly vision is getting blurred when it comes to serving God outside these doors. We have a heavenly vision problem. I'm glad when we have mission conference that some of us get it back. I need that boost. I mean, when Brother Vic comes down here or I hear anybody preaching on missions, I need that. It's like going to the doctor and getting a new prescription, amen. Clear your eyesight up so you can see clear again. Get some of the garbage off of them. And I tell you, and you say, why do I say some have get that vision back from us? Now, put your seatbelt on for a minute. Just a few questions. I'll get past this quick so y'all can shout again. Amen. Let me tell you why only some get their vision back. Because a lot have never gotten it to start with.
Right, that's true.
A lot of people get saved and that's it. A lot of people get saved and they never let God work on them about a heavenly vision. I tell you what, at missions conference, it always saddened me. The church that I used to go to, man, I used to get so saddened by it. It used to hurt my feelings really bad. I mean, I'd call people out, too. I got in a lot of trouble for that. That's okay, though. I'd rather get in trouble and call somebody out than not. My wife's laughing. She knows I made a lot of people mad at my last church a lot. And I know sometimes this just... Pastor, forgive me if you just get on to me afterwards, but I know that maybe sometimes there is an emergency comes up and you can't make it. Now, I'm talking to the leaders of the church now, teachers, deacons, amen, assistant pastor, pastor, all those. I'm telling you, if we're having a missions conference, your priority ought to be mission conference.
Amen.
If you hold a position in this church or any church, you ought to be there for me. I'm gonna tell you a little something. I shouldn't do this. Y'all like to laugh, though. This ain't funny. The head deacon at my last church thought he didn't have to come to mission conference. Now, I wasn't mean. Of course, I don't think I ever got to preach again after that night, did over there. But anyway. Anyway, we had a missions conference. And I'm going to tell you something. That's dear to my heart. I love missionaries, and that's dear to my heart. I believe if we ain't going to support missionaries, we might as well close the shop. I mean, what's the point, you know? If we ain't going to reach the world, then heck with this, you know, just us four and these four walls. We're going to reach the world. And I tell you this, Deacon, it was scary for me. My heart was pounding out of my chest, and I believe God made me do it. Amen. I blame it on him. But I was preaching away that next week, and that deacon didn't come to mission conference, and I called him out right in the middle of service. I said, that man right back there is done wrong. And I called him out right in front of everybody. I didn't know if I was going to get whooped, beat up, whatever. He left the church the next week, but I believe if you hold a position, you ought to be at mission conference. That's why I say some regain their heavenly vision. Let me get to these questions so I can get done so I don't make y'all too mad. Amen. I told you it'd be short anyway. I'm past short. Let's go for brief. Amen. So here's the problem. Some of you have already made up your mind that you're not coming. Some of you already made up your mind. Now, you can get mad at me if you want to. I don't care. We get mad at me. We'll get over it. I still love you. If you don't show up next Wednesday, I'm not going to get real mad at you. If you don't come, that's fine. But you've already made up your mind. You're not coming. You know why? You ain't got no heavenly vision. I'm just being truthful. Is that the truth? Okay. If I'm wrong, y'all let me know. Some of you already made up your mind you're not giving to missions. Now, that's sad. I tell you what the saddest part of that is God wants to bless you and you're cutting him off from blessing you. I mean, honest to goodness. I mean, that one don't even make no sense. But some of you's already made up your mind. Hey, that preacher, I don't care what Brother Vic says. He's going to say this and that and all that. If I'm sitting on my wallet, I don't care what he says. You ain't going to make me give to miss. I'll come to the stupid meeting if that's what you want. But don't think I'm giving no money. What a foolish statement that would be. Hey, I like it when the Lord's waiting to bless me, amen. Hey, I love it when the window of heaven opens up and some stuff drops out, amen. Hey, I'm thankful for that, amen. I like to worship and praise the Lord. I like those things from God. I tell you, I ain't going to sit on that thing and not let God bless me. But some of you's already made up your mind for that. Already said, I ain't coming. Already said, I ain't giving the missions. Already made up your mind that you'll never be a missionary. That's where a lot of Christians fall in right there. Oh, yeah, I'll come. I'll come to the meeting. I'll even give to missions, but don't never ask me to be a missionary. You know what the problem is? You've lost your heavenly vision. Now, the truth of the matter is God may not call very many people to go to the mission field. You know what I'm saying? We if he did, we would have a church here. But you should always be willing to be a missionary. You should always be willing to listen to what God wants you to do, and maybe he will call you somewhere. I'm going to tell you something. I wasn't looking to go to Haiti when God called me to Haiti. I didn't even know where it was when God called me to Haiti. You know what I'm saying? But you should be willing to go. The best thing for a Christian to do is to go to a foreign country and spend a week with a missionary. You know that? We're talking about in cult class. You know the Mormons are required to go to the mission field. They're required to do that. These other cults are required to go. You say, all them other cults have missions. They have missions. Why do you think they're growing leaps and bounds? It's because of their mission program. It ain't because they got something great that we ain't got. It's because they train their people to go out and tell others about what they're teaching. Amen. I think the best thing to do as a Christian is to go to a foreign field. Go there. Spend a week there. Be with the missionary. You know what we say all the time? Affected the heart. My eyes were open. I'm just going to tell you a couple stories and I'm going to be done. At the time I was at Liberty, I didn't know much about missions. I've told you all that before. I was preaching in the jails like Brother James does, and that was my ministry. I went to jails and prisons and preached, and I was just having a wonderful time. I honestly was like Philip. I mean, I was seeing people saved. I was seeing lives changed. I mean, I was going through a different Bible every 6 months from the tears being cried in my Bible from people being saved. I was having a wonderful time. I was wearing the knees out in my britches from praying on the prison floors with these people getting saved and lives turned around. I mean, I was having my own revival in the jails and prisons. And old Joe says, won't you go to Haiti with me? What? Haiti? And somebody, people told me, I said, what is Haiti? They said, that's hell. I said, hell, Hades, hell? I said, no, I don't think y'all got the right pronunciation there. I don't think that's what he's talking about. I mean, the guy I preach with ain't going to tell me to go to hell. That's what them in jail tell me to do all the time, go to hell. So I looked up Haiti and got on the map, found that little place and all that, and went there. And I'm going to tell you something, the eye affected the heart. And you know what's going to happen to your heavenly vision? You're never going to have it if you don't let your eyes affect your heart. Amen. You know, I can't wait for those missionaries to come in, because when they come in and they show them slides, oh my gosh, I want to go to every country that's ever showed. Every time I want to go, let me go, I'll go. If y'all pay for it, I'll go, amen. Every time they keep showing them, I'm like, man, look at that, I want to go there. I want to go to Ireland, that place. I want to go to Ireland, I want to go to Australia, I want to go to Papua New Guinea, I want to go all those places. One of my friends sent me a picture of Papua New Guinea last week. It was a devil man. In Haiti, we called them witch doctors, but it was a devil man in Papua New Guinea, and he had skull painted on his face and his whole body was painted. I said, I want to go. Sign me up. Amen. You know why? Because God gave me a heavenly vision a long time ago. God had put in my heart that this is what this thing's all about. It's winning people to the Lord Jesus Christ, and about going out and reaching a lost and dying world, and seeing people get saved and changed. I'll tell you what else it'll do for you. Let me tell you this story. When I was, me and my wife, about 4 years ago now, 5 years ago, we went to Mexico, and I got invited down there. Somebody, missionary, called and said, we need some help. Says, well, I never even met this guy before in my life. It was Matt Johnson, Matt and Anetta Johnson. I never met him in my life. But I got a phone call because they knew I went to mission fields and did stuff. And they gave me a phone call and said, hey, we got a church down here. God is busting the seams out. We are growing like crazy. We built this building, and we can't. I don't know how to wire it. These Mexican folks down here, they don't know how to wire it right. I think the church is going to burn down with what they've done. Can you come down here and help? Just like that Macedonian call. And I said, you better believe I'm going to come down there and help. I said, let me work some things out. Let me get some things squared away. Let me get the shop taken care of, and I'll come down there, and I'll wire that place for you. And I come down there, and I'm going to tell you something. I got down there to be a blessing to them. And what they did to my heart, what God done to my eyesight, what God done for me was more than I could have ever done for them. I worked my rear end off down there from beginning of the morning till late at night. He gave me a whole crew of those little Mexican people that were helping me. I couldn't talk to them. They couldn't talk to me. And we were shouting it out in there, working, talking about the Lord. They didn't know what I was saying, but they knew what God was. They knew who Jesus Christ was. And we had a good time building that place and wiring that place. And I'm going to tell you, Matt said, hey, I want to show you something special. I said, what's that, Brother Matt? He said, tomorrow we ain't going to work. He said, tomorrow I'm going to take you to the second mission field. He said, we're working on a place over here in this different town. I'm going to take you there. And he said, you want to go? I said, sure. He said, you want to preach? I said, no, I don't want to preach. I said, I just want to go. I said, I want to go. I want to go. And so we went over there. We drove over there. And I'm going to tell you, the stinkingest place, Haiti stunk a lot worse than that, but stinking, it's nasty. We went to that place, and most people would have turned their nose up and said, I ain't have nothing to do with this. This place stinks. Mother Mary was in a box everywhere you turned around. I mean, seriously. Everywhere you turned around, in the middle of the streets, everywhere, Mary was in a box. People putting money in that thing, doing all that stuff. And I said, went on down into that town. They took me to this family's house. Wasn't it special there? Took me to this family's house. They had opened the doors of their little place, that little dirty place, to let Brother Matt and them come in and tell people about Jesus Christ. We went out on those streets and invited people that day to come in, to come into that little house, that little bit. I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. Me and my wife sat on the back row of that little place. They put all them chairs in there. And I'm going to tell you, them people hugged my wife's neck. They loved my wife. They were giving her their babies and letting her hold their babies and all that stuff and everything. And I mean, God was just poured out. Brother Matt preached a message, and five or six of them people got saved that evening. And I mean, we just had a meeting right there in that little old nasty place. But you know what? They had a vision. People getting saved. You know what? What was the last prayer letter? How many people are over there now? They was like 20 in that little room that day. You know what? They got property now. They got a church going over there now. You know why? Because they had a heavenly vision. And let me tell you why that's so important. Going to a mission field and all that's so important is because when you're sitting here in church and preacher's message ain't so hot, mine ain't so hot, which is most of the time, and you're sitting there wondering about what you're going to eat for lunch and all that, you know what God does to me sometimes? I remember sitting in that little place in Mexico. I remember seeing those little Mexicans giving their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. My mind thinks on those things. You know what God's doing? He's refreshing my heavenly vision. He's reminding me of what this thing is all about. Instead of sitting there thinking about going to Burger King and getting some burgers or something like that, you know what happens when mission conference comes the next Wednesday night? Man, a revival of that heavenly vision of seeing people get saved. Hey, I'm telling you, what you see on that board, what you see those missionaries, those slides and stuff and everything else, man, those people are pouring their lives into those countries. They're pouring their whole everything into those countries to see people get saved. You know what they want? They want you to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what God wants? He wants you to be part of it.
Okay.
There's things that happen there and on the mission field and everything else that you'll never forget. They'll be implanted in your mind for the rest of your life. You know, here's the thing, folks. People all over this world are dying and going to hell. All over this world. I understand the importance of having a revival in East Ridge. I understand the importance of having a revival in our own homes. But I also know the importance of having a heavenly vision. Because there's people on the other side of this world dying and going to hell that can't turn on a TV and hear the preaching any time of the day. That don't have 500 independent Baptist churches to go to in one city. And I want you to think about this for a minute when you see those missionaries next week. We laugh about Haiti. Tell people Haiti's the size of Rhode Island, got about 7 million people in it. People go, that's pretty little. That's a little old place. 7 million people. You know how many missionaries that are there carrying the gospel? About 25. How many of us in here carrying the gospel? And we don't even reach our neighbor. I'll quit meddling. Let's pray. Father, I